إن الحمد لله نحمده واستعينه واستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. بيز الله سبحانه وتعالى and he's the only one worthy of praise. He took his help, his guidance and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I took refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our person. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one shall mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between his slaves, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify over you that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. So Muslims, you must know that the book of speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The book of guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worth of all affairs is invocation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. After this, I greet you all with a greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I welcome all of you in our Tuesday class, which we've been conducted for the last approximately 5 to 6 months, which we usually deal with the book Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective for Imam Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And our work concerning this book, that we give more details about the hadith, as well as the sukk of understanding the hadith, as well as the sensitivity of the hadith of. So today, inshallah, which is Tuesday, the last day of Shawwal for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is equivalent to the 16th of February for the year 1999, and this will be, alaykum salam, our third class concerning Hajj after the introduction. So this is the fourth class with the introduction, and this is considered the third class concerning Bulugh al-Maram. And today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about Babu Sifat al-Hajj wa Dukhuli Makkah. And this is the book of Bulugh al-Maram, chapter 5, page number 256. Chapter 5, the nature of the Hajj, pilgrimage, and entering Mecca. And inshallah, today we're going to be dealing with hadith number 607. عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حج فخرجنا معه حتى إذا أتينا ذا الفليثة فولدت أثناء بنت عميس فقال اغتسلي واستفتري بثوب وأحرمي فصلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المسجد ثم رقد القصواء حتى إذا استوت به على البيداء أهل بالتوحيد لبيك اللهم لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. حتى إذا أتينا البيت سلم الركن فرمل ثلاثا ومشى أربعا، ثم أتى مقام إبراهيم فصلى، ثم رجع إلى الركن فاستلمه، ثم خرج من الباب إلى الصفا، فلما دنا من الصفا قرأ إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله. أبدأ بما بدأ الله به، فرقي الصفا حتى رأى البيت، فاستقبل القبلة، فوحد الله وكبره وقال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا الله أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده. ثم دعا بين ذلك فقال مثل هذا ثلاث مرات، ثم نزل من الصفا إلى المروة حتى إذا انصبت قدماه في بطن الوادي سعى، حتى إذا صعد مشي إلى المروة فكعل على المروة كما فعل على الصفا. فذكر الحديث. وفيه فلما كان يوم التروية توجهوا إلى منى وركب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فصلى بها الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء والفجر، ثم مكث قليلا حتى طلعت الشمس، فأجاز حتى أتى عرفة، فوجد القبة قد ضربت له بنمرة، فنزل بها حتى إذا زالت الشمس أمر بالقصواء فرحلت له، فأتى بطن الوادي فخطب الناس، ثم أذن ثم أقام فصلى الظهر، ثم أقام فصلى العصر ولم يصلي بينهما شيئا، ثم ركب حتى أتى الموقف فجعل بطن ناقته القصواء إلى الصخرات، وجعل جبل المشاة بين يديه، واستقبل القبلة فلم يزل واقفا حتى غربت الشمس، وذهبت الصخرة قليلا حتى إذا غاب القرص دفعا وقد شنق للقصواء الزمام، حتى إن رأسها ليصيب مورق رحله، ويقول بيده اليمنى يا أيها الناس السكينة السكينة. وكلما أتى جبلا أرخى لها قليلا حتى تصعد، حتى أتى المزدلفة فصلى بها المغرب والعشاء بأذان واحد وإقامتين، ولم يسبح بينهما شيئا، ثم اضطجع حتى طلع الفجر، فصلى الفجر حين تبين له الصبح بأذان وإقامة، ثم ركب حتى أتى المشعر الحرام، فاستقبل القبلة فدعا وكبر وهلل، فلم يزل واقفا حتى اصفر جدا، فدفع قبل أن تطلع الشمس حتى أتى بطن مصر محصر، فحرق قليلا ثم سلق الطريق الوسطى التي تخرج على الجمرة الكبرى، حتى أتى الجمرة التي عند الشجرة فرماها بسبع حصيات يكبر مع كل حصاة منها، كل حصاة مثل حصى الخبز القذف، رمى من بطن الوادي ثم انصرف إلى المنحر تنحر، ثم ركب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأصاب إلى البيت وصلى بمكة الظهر، رواه مسلم مطولا. Basically this hadith inshallah which is the collection of Imam Muslim and reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah is a description of the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the moment that he left his house until he performed all his Hajj. Inshallah we're going to ask Brother Habib to read it, and after this I'm going to give you some little bit details on it inshallah.
جابر بن عبد الله Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the Hajj, and he did outwit him. So he went to go to Laysa, Asma, daughter of Umayyad, gave birth. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take a bath, bandage the private parts with a cloth, and put on the ihram. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed in the mosque, and then mounted al-Qaswa, and when it stood erect with him on its back at al-Bayda, he raised his voice declaring Allah's oneness and saying, I am at your service, O Allah, at your service. You have no partner, at your service. Praise and grace are yours, and the dominion. You have no partner. When he came to the house, he touched the corner, and ran 3 times round the house, and walked 4 times round the house. Then he came to the face of Ibrahim and prayed. He then returned to the corner and touched it, after which he went out by the gate to As-Safa. On coming near to which he recited, As-Safa and Al-Marwa are among the signs appointed by Allah, adding, I begin with what Allah began with. So he mounted As-Safa till he saw the house. Then he faced the Qibla, declared Allah's oneness, proclaimed his greatness, and said, there is no God but Allah alone, who has no partner. To him belongs the dominion. To him praise is due, and he is omnipotent. There is no God but Allah alone, who alone has fulfilled his promise. Help this slave and vanquish the confederate. He then made supplication in the course of that, saying such words 3 times. He next descended from As-Safa to Al-Marwa, and when he came down into the bottom of the valley, he ran. And when he began to ascend, he walked to reach Al-Marwa. There he did as he had done at As-Safa. The narrator reported the rest of the hadith, and it contains that it was Yom At-Tarwiyah. They came towards Mina, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rose and prayed there Al-Zumf, Al-Asr, Al-Maghrib, Al-Ishaq, and Al-Fajr Salah. After that he waited a little till the sun rose. Then he proceeded to return to Arafah and found that the tent had been set up for him at Namira. There he dismounted, and when the sun had passed the meridian, he ordered Al-Qaswa to be brought. And when it was gathered for him, he went down into the valley and addressed the people. He then ordered the Azan, then the Iqama to be uttered, and he prayed Az-Zuhr, Salah. He then ordered the Iqama to be uttered and prayed Al-Asr, Salah, engaging in no prayer between the two. He then mounted his camel and came to the place of standing, making his two camel Al-Qaswa turn his back to the rock, and having the path taken by those who went on foot in front of him. He faced the Qibla and remained standing till sunset, when the yellow light had somewhat gone, and the disk of the sun had disappeared. He went quickly filling the halter of Al-Qaswa, forcefully, so that its head was about to touch the foreside of his saddle, gesturing with his right hand and saying, you people, be tranquil, be tranquil. And whenever he happened to pass over an elevated set of sand, he slightly loosened the halter so that it could climb out. When he came to Al-Muzdalifa, he prayed Al-Maghrib and Al-Isra' prayer with one Azan and prayed Iqama, without saying the glorification of Allah between them. He then lay down to dawn and prayed Al-Fajr with an Azan and an Iqama when the morning light was clear. He then mounted till he came to Al-Mas'ar, Al-Haram. He faced the Qibla, supplicated Allah, declared his greatness and his oneness, and kept standing till the daylight was very clear. He then went quickly before the sun rose, till he came to the valley of Muhassam. He urged the camel a little, and followed the middle road, which comes out at the big Jamra. He came to the Jamra, which is beside the tree. At this he threw 7 small pebbles, uttering the takbir each time he threw a pebble. And each pebble was as small as a gate stone. He threw them from the bottom of the valley. then went to the place of sacrifice and sacrifice. After that, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mounted and going quickly to the house, prayed a dhuhr salah in Mecca, reported by Muslim through a long hadith.
Again, as I stated, this is a description for the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it came in the collection of Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhi, and reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him. And in this hadith, the first thing we see that an incident took place which Asma bint Ubay, which was married to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and during the Hajj preparation, she gave birth to Muhammad, the son of Abu Bakr, and she told this as a problem due to her bleeding. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told her for her to take a shower and for her to bandage her private part in a manner that the blood not to be driven from her while she's traveling. And this is not going to be a way of violating her Hajj. So even if the woman has menses, bleeding after childbirth, whatever this kind of bleeding is going to be the prevention from her to make her intention of to go for Hajj or to go for Umrah. This is the first thing that we learn from this hadith. The second issue that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't start his talbiyah, the saying of labbayk Allahumma labbayk, until he was there by the miqat, the station that he was supposed to make the talbiyah from. That a person, when he in the proper place that he supposed to make his talbiyah by saying labbayk Allahumma labbayk, which means that you uttering this word saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm here at your command, at your service, I'm here because you order me and made this as an obligation on me to make Hajj. So I am here as a result of your call and your command. I am here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also that the person admitted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no partner beside him, that all the praise and all the favor is from Allah and all the kingdom is belong to Allah. There is no partner beside him in whatever that he gives him, or there is no partner beside him in the praise or any manner or sharing anything with the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this talbiyah is going to be repeated at different occasions, but he went directly to say when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived to Mecca. Okay, so this incident concerning the bleeding of Asma and concerning the talbiyah, this was taking place in the way to Mecca. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived there to Mecca and to the Kaaba, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived there, he starts by reaching the corner which is the black stone in it, and this is where the start of the person who making Hajj, and the black stone in one of the corners of the Kaaba. You have four corners actually, or two corners, which is the original corner that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba. One is the Rukn al-Yamani, which is the direction of Yemen, and the other Rukn, or the other corner, which is the black stone on it, okay? There is other two corners, but these other two corners, they are not the original corners, which is the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had built the Kaaba. Therefore, you will find something about 4 feet, approximately, like a half circle around the Kaaba. And this is what is supposed to be the extension of the original building of the Kaaba. So you're going to start your tawaf okay, by reaching to the black stone, if you can reach it, by touching it, by kissing it, and from there you're going to start your circles or rounding the Kaaba, what you call tawaf. The first three rounds that you're going to make ramal, what it means that the person will be almost like running, but not running to in a manner that he will disturb the people or be sitting over the people, okay? It's like very, very close steps to each other, okay? I'm wired here with all this wire, so I don't know how to move, but I think I... So let's assume this is the Kaaba here, and you're going to be running, what is this water, okay? So you're going to be going like exactly something like this, okay? In the first three rounds, round the Kaaba. And every time when you come to this corner, which is Rukn al-Yamani, okay, you're going to walk, okay? And when you come to the black stone, you're going to kiss it or touch it as you can, and after this you're going to go again, running, okay? Not running too fast, okay? But this is the manner of running that is going to be. And this is going to be for what? For the first three rounds, round the Kaaba. And after this, how many times you're supposed to go? 7 times. And after this is the rest of the tawaf is going to be the regular walking. Okay? So this is what he says, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went to the Kaaba, when he reached the base, he reached to the house, to the Kaaba, which he went to the black stone, he took it and he started. And this will be the corner of the Kaaba. This is where you're going to start your tawaf. Okay? And you're going to go 3 rounds around the Kaaba in what you may call it running, and after this 4 more will be walking. فَرَمَلَ ثَلَاثًا وَمَشَى أَرْبَعًا. And he walked for 4. And after this, after you do this 7 rounds, you will go to Maqam Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim. Now this is here the corner of Yemen. Here is the black stone. And the station of Ibrahim will be possibly here. Okay? And the door of the Kaaba will be in this area here. So you have this corner when you start your tawaf from here. Okay? So now after you finish this round, you're going to come here in this area, and the station of Ibrahim will be in front of you, between you and the Kaaba. Alright? Which you went in the Surah Ad here, and he went to where? To a Safa. And while he was going to the Safa, he recited the verse from the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ. Indeed, the Safa, which is the name of a mountain, and the Marwa is the other mountain, okay, مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ, are one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let him, whosoever go for Umrah, for Hajj, to make tawaf, that means to walk between them. So, and he said, I will start with what Allah starts with, because the verse says, Inna Safa wal Marwata. So, which mountain Allah named for it in Quran? Safa. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will start with what Allah starts with. Okay? So I will go and start with what? With the Safa. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to on the Safa. This is a little bit hill, like a small mountain, okay? You will sit and see the mountain there, and you will go on it. And after this, you will recite this dua, look into the Kaaba, okay? You can see the Kaaba from there. It's easy, you can see it, okay? And you look to the Kaaba, face the Kaaba, and you will say, La ilaha illallah, وحده لا شريك له له الملك ولا الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله أنجز وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no partner beside him. To him is the dominion and the praise, and he is able to do all things. There is no deity beside Allah. He fulfilled his promise. He gives victory to his slave, which is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he conquered all the troops and the enemies by him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, by himself. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made supplication. And after this, he recited this dua again, and he made supplication. And after this, he recites the dua again and he made supplication for three times, and all this is still where on the mountain of Safa. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come down from the Safa and start to walk. In actuality, I will go later on in details, but we here to be specifically to explain the hadith. But later on, that you will learn that you're supposed to be making dhikr, reciting Quran, whatever it is, while you're going until you reach the Marwa. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was all the way down in the valley between the Safa and the Marwa, he starts to go faster. Okay? And you will know the things by indication. There is two green lights there. So now we can imagine like two hills like this here. So let's imagine that this is Safa and this is Marwa. Okay? And there is a distance between both of them. It's supposed to be, you go here, you stand, and you say this dua, and after this you come down and you walk until you reach here. Here, in about almost one third of the distance, you will see indication, two green lights, which everybody is very easy to see. When you reach this destination, this mark, you will start to go a little bit faster until you go to the other green light. We're going to go more in details about this thing, but I'm dealing with the hadith now. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came close to the other mountain, which is the Marwa, and he did the same thing like he did what? On the Safa. That in the Safa wal Marwa min sha'airillah, indeed the Safa and the Marwa, okay, are from the signs which Allah had put it for mankind and all these things. And you will say, and again, you will make dua, and repeat the verse again, you make dua, you say the verse again, you make dua, and you say the verse again, and after this you leave the mountain of Marwa, and you will come back to Safa. Okay? When you reach to these two green lights, you will go faster in walking. Okay, and this applies to men and women. When you pass this second green light, you will start walking normally. When you come closer to the Safa, you will recite the verse, Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah, and you go there on the hill there, and you will recite this verse again, and make dua, look into the Kaaba three times, and you come back again, and you will repeat this seven times. And after this, then what it is, and the Tarwiyah is the eighth day of Dhul Hijjah. Dhul Hijjah is the 12th, the last month of the Islamic calendar. So the eighth day of that month, called Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day of watering or irrigating or whatever, okay? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will leave Mecca. He was in Mecca at that time, okay? First he came from Medina, he made the tawaf, he made the sa'i, so the day of Tarwiyah, and he stayed in Mecca. The eighth day, he went to Mina. And in Mina, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha and Fajr. So he performed five prayers there in Mina. And he waited a little bit in Mina until the sun rise a little bit, and after this he moved towards Arafah. Okay? So this will be the day what? The ninth day. So, Yawm al-Tarwiyah is the eighth. If you go to Mina, okay? It will be there for the Asr, Maghrib, Isha and Fajr. You don't leave Mina until the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. Okay? When do you leave? Approximately something like 8 o'clock in the morning. And you will go towards Arafah. But you don't go immediately to Arafah. You go there in a place called Nadra, which is not part of Arafah. Okay? This in Muzdalifah. And in Muzdalifah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thank you. And in Muzdalifah, which is very close, Nadra is very close to Arafah, but outside the city of Arafah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed Dhuhr and Asr. He combined the prayer together with one adhan and two iqama. One iqama for Dhuhr and one iqama for Asr. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave speech, he gave khutbah, okay, to the people. And he said that he didn't make any prayer between them, he didn't make any sunnah between Dhuhr and Asr. And after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to Arafah, to the city itself was Arafah, and he was inside there while he was facing the Qibla, the direction of the Kaaba. And he continued standing there until sunset. What day is this? The 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the last month, and the day is the 9th. When do you enter Arafah? When you enter Arafah? The 9th day, but when, what time? After praying Dhuhr and Asr. You're praying Dhuhr and Asr out of the city limits of Arafah. This place called between Muzdalifah and Arafah in Nadra. Okay? And after you pray Dhuhr and Asr combining together in the time of Dhuhr, you will enter Arafah. Okay? In Arafah, how long are you going to be there? Until sunset. Until sunset. And this one of the major parts of Hajj, attending Arafah, being in Arafah. What does it mean to attend Arafah? To be there in the city of Arafah. Doesn't matter if you are inside the car, inside the bus, in a camel, sitting under a tent, laying down, the main thing that you do inside this city. What you can do there, make tasbih, you read Quran, you make dua, whatever it is, that you to buy yourself with the remembrance of Allah. The attendance of Arafah is a major part of Hajj. If you miss it, you could not make Hajj. Okay? The proper way that when you be there, that you be facing the Qibla. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued like this, until sunset and the yellowish color disappear. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to take his journey back again. Okay? After sunset. He didn't pray now in Arab. Okay? Sunset there, disappeared completely. Now he starts going back. And he's supposed to take it easy, don't disturb the people, don't drive fast, don't speed, no disturbance, take your time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was saying to the people, O people, alaykum as-sakina, take your time, take it easy, don't rush. Okay? And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he reached to Al-Muzdalifah. Okay? So you have Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafah. So what is the closer to Mecca? Is Mina. You need Mecca, You go to Mina. Mina to Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah at Arafah. You leave Arafah, you come to Muzdalifah. You leave Muzdalifah, you come to Mina. You leave Mina, you go to Mecca. Okay? So now, after sunset in the night, you start to come to where? In Muzdalifah. And in Muzdalifah, what do? You pray Maghrib and Isha together. You combine them together. And if no anything recommended to be done there except for you to rest. Okay? This is the best thing to do for you. That because you just coming from a journey and you've been going through all these things for 2-3 days. So now it's time for you. When you reach Muzdalifah, you're going to make Maghrib and Isha, and you should go to sleep, rest yourself, relax yourself. And that you make this to combine Maghrib and Isha in the time of Isha, one Adhan and two Iqamah. No sunnah between Maghrib and Isha for that time. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lay down until Fajr. Anybody remember what day is this now? This is the 10th now. Fajr. It's the 10th now. And we pray Fajr where? In Muzdalifah. In Muzdalifah. And we waited until little bit before sunrise. And he went to a station called Al-Mas'ar al-Haram. Okay? And he went there. And he takes the Qibla and he prays Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, makes supplication, tasbir and all these things, and he continues standing there until almost sunrise. And after this he went towards in his way to Mina. In his way he passed by a place called Mat Muhtar. And he starts to go fasting, faster. Why? Because this is a place of punishment. Some tribe been punished before, from the nations before. And this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when you pass by any places that you know that a generation been punished there before, that we go fast. Because like places of Ayat, places of Thamud. And the crazy thing now that people make a tourist site out of this nowadays. You go be standing there and taking pictures and all kind of things. The believer, when you go in a place like this, he will go fast. He doesn't go stand there and taking pictures and having 50 and chatting there and people giving him the history of who built this and who's been killed here and who that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let the earth sink down with them in this place and we found this and that. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached this area called Batn al-Mahsar, he went faster. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached to Al-Jamratul Kubra, okay? And he called Jamra because this is a place for collection for like the rust and pebbles and things like this, where you throw these pebbles. And there are three of them. So the closer one, the closer one to Muzdalifah, and the farther one from Mecca, we call it Al-Jamratul Kubra, the greatest jamra, or the greatest stone place. And when he went there, he threw 7 people on it. With each one he said, Allahu Akbar. And he described in this hadith how big is this people. Okay? How big it is? Big stone. Maybe big stone, little bit big. Okay? It's like almost like a fava bean or one of these small beans. Okay? Something that if it come in somebody's head, it doesn't go and hurt to him. 7 pebbles. And with each one he said what? Allahu Akbar. And he throw 7 times. What day it is? This is the thing. What time it is? Huh? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made 5 years in his Jalisa. He went to the Masjid al-Haram. He stood there remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until almost sunrise. And after this he moved to his way to Mina. Okay? And the Prophet was riding his camel. So you can imagine, you understand, how much time this. So let's say approximately that you'll be there, let's say, about 10 o'clock in the morning. What day? The same. And this is what we call it, what? The first day of Eid. This is the day of Eid. Okay? This is the day what we hear every place else is the day of Eid. And this is the first, this will be what? The 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he throw these 7 tables with each one, he say, Allahu Akbar. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to the slaughter place, okay, and he sacrificed his animal. And after this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he arrived his camel and he went to Mecca. What day it is? The 10th. Practically this went almost like Dhuhr time, okay? And he prayed in Mecca Dhuhr. Okay? So when he reached to Mecca, he made tawaf around the Kaaba. And this is called tawaf al-ifada. Tawaf al-ifada. And this important part of your Hajj. The Prophet didn't make sa'i after this between Safa and Marwa. Why? Anybody know? Because he already made sa'i when he came from Medina, you remember? Which is the Prophet came, and after this he went around the Kaaba, and when he finished he went to Safa and Marwa. Okay? So, and after this in the 8 days he went to Mina, the 9 days he went to Arafah, and he returned back. So after this when he come back, he threw the people, he sacrificed his animal, he went to Mecca, he made tawaf around the Kaaba 7 times, and this he finished his Hajj. He finished his Hajj. This is what I'm saying, that what it comes in the Hadith, okay? This is correct what he's saying. A person will free the people, a person will slaughter his animal, a person will shave his head, okay, or cut his hair short, and will go to make tawaf. There is the order to these things, and there is certain things can be done, but in this hadith he didn't mention this, and I don't want to add anything, but it will come in the other hadith. Thank you. Hadith number 608, we're going to leave it alone. The hadith is weak. Hadith number 608, page 260. The hadith is weak, we're going to leave it alone. Hadith number 609, وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحرتها هنا ومنا كلها ننحر فانحروا في رحالكم ووقفتها هنا وعرف كلها موقف. It is this place. And all the city of Mina is a place for clothing. Okay? Why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us this? Because it's not everybody special nowadays. For 2 or 3 million to be, everybody wants to go in the same spot to slaughter his animal because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم took it here. He will be slaughtering each other. No way. But the mercy of Allah, he gives the direction to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to tell the people that all the city of Mina is a manha. So you don't have to come to this spot. Okay? But this way I did it. And the whole place, even inside your tent, you can kill your sheep there. And he said also, and I stood here, Arafah. Okay? In Arafah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went there to the mountain of Arafah, and he was facing the Qibla, Can you imagine if 2 million people want everybody to be in the tennis bar? No way. But he's telling us, this is where I stood, but any place in Arafah is a what? Is a place for standing. So you can be in any place. You can be in the mountain, or you can be in the bottom of the mountain, or you can be in your tent, you can be inside your house, as long as you are in the city limit of Arafah, you are fulfilling the obligation.
Arafah is a mountain and a city.
It's not a city, but it's a place. If you want to say city, that means people living there, nobody living there, actually, okay? Only during the time of Hajj, the people go and sit in the middle of the desert. Okay?
Location.
Location. But, you know, for somebody with a broken English, like myself, he tries to identify, he say, it's city limit. So what I supposed to say, location limit?
No, I'm just trying to get a
clue. Okay, no problem, okay? It's a place, okay? So the Prophet ﷺ says that the whole area is what is a place for you to be in it during that day. We will come to explain about this, inshallah. So a person does not have to float his animal in the place where the Prophet ﷺ floats his animal, neither he has to be there on the mountain where the Prophet ﷺ was there. You can be in any place in Arafah, you can kill your sacrifice at any place that acceptable to you. Hadith number 16 عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما جاء إلى مكة دخلها من أعلاها وخرج من أسفلها. The approach of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or his manner when he visited or when he went for Hajj, he came to from the upper city entrance, okay, and when he left from, like you say, if you come from Iceland as a dumbbell, the first exit to you is the exit which is highway 1, okay, and when you leave Colombia, you can go and hit I-20 from exit of Tunash. This is what he means by the upper and the lower part of the city. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه كان لا يقدم مكة إلا بات بذي طوين بذي طوى حتى يصبح ويغتسل ويذكر ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This which is narration from Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that the behavior of Rasulullah ﷺ when he never come to Mecca, he used to, before he enter Mecca, the city itself, he will go to this place called Tawa, and he will wait until the morning, he take a shower, he bath, and he said the Prophet ﷺ used to do this. So it is recommended. It is recommended for the person before he enters the city of Mecca, even if you are in the state of Ihram, that you wash and you enter by morning, but this is not a must. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه كان يقبل الحجر الأسود ويسجد عليه. رواه الحاكم مرفوعا والبيهقي ثم موقوف والحديث صحيح. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take the black stone and prostrate on it. Okay? In actuality, the black stone is going to be in the height, like you say, about 3.5 feet. So it's not when somebody understands prostrate on it, that it's not in the ground like a prayer rug. So what you mean by prostrate on it, like you take it and you take it like this and you do like this. Okay? So this is what he means by prostrated on it. And this from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to take the black stone. So this shows you the sunnah or the permissibility or the sunnah of kissing the black stone as well as prostrating the putting your forehead inside or on the black stone itself. Hadith number 615, page 262. وعنه جثمين also from ابن عباس may Allah be pleased with him قال أمرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يرملوا ثلاثة أشواط ويمشوا أربعا وأن يمشوا بين الركنين متفق عليه which was hadith we already explained concerning the tawaf and this tawaf if you only go for umrah or hajj that you will make ramli that you go like I said the manner I show you how to run but not such that you will hurt the people in the first three rounds and the rest which is four you will walk, will walk this will be done only when you go for Umrah or you go for Hajj but if you make an optional tawaf you don't do this okay and in the three first round of those that you walking faster when you reach the corner of Yemen to the black stone no running, no running between these two areas and Allah knows best to understand but this is then explained that the kuffar that they said when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming from Medina that they were talking about how that these people the fever huh? That they are not healthy enough. Okay, they've been afflicted by disease or something like this. This some explanation of some of the scholars why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in this manner to show the people the strength. Okay, that they are not sick, they are not dragging their feet, that they are healthy, wealthy, good Lord, everything is fine with them. So he went in this manner, but. Anyway, Allah knows this because now there is no any way to, but we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he did it. He did it this way, we do it this way. But as I said, this will be demonstrated only in Hajj and Umrah. But if you make an optional tawaf at any time, as example, when you leave Mecca, when you're about to leave Mecca, there is a tawaf, kul wadaf, tawaf al-wada'. Like you say in bypass to Mecca, okay? The farewell, tawaf, the last thing you do is you go make wada' like you say to somebody, I will see you, inshallah, whenever Allah make a way, so bye-bye, or so on. So this tawaf, you don't run these three, okay, I'll go faster three times and after this you walk, but in all your tawaf that you walk normally, in exception of Hajj and Umrah for the first three rounds. حديث نمبر 614 بيج 262 وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه كان إذا طاف بالبيت الطواف الأول خب ثلاثا ومتى أربعة وفي رواية رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا طاف في الحج أو العمرة أول ما يقدم فإنه أول ما يقدم فإنه يسعى ثلاثة أطواف بالبيت ويمشي أربعة The same thing repeating again in this hadith that when the Prophet comes in Hajj or Umrah, that the first three rounds that he will go in a faster speed than the rest of them, which will be four, but he will walk. And the hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith number 615, وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال لم أرى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من البيت غير الركنين اليمانيين. I never saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم touch any corners of the house in the Kaaba except the two corners, the Yemen, this one and the one with the black stone. So we have to understand that everything in Islam is not a matter of emotion. You don't worship Allah through emotion, but you worship Allah subhanahu wa taala through following. The steps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You take the black stone because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes the black stone. You don't go in the corner of women and kiss it. This is wrong. This is wrong. The rukn of women, you touch it with your right hand only. Okay? You wipe over it and this is it. If you can reach the black stone, you will take the black stone. But there is no any part of the Kaaba to be touched. In a manner, hoping that this will bless you or will give you reward. Some people will go and be on the stand touching everything. Some people will be standing and doing this in the Kaaba with their back, rubbing their back. Some people will try to nibble and cut pieces of the thread of the dress of the Kaaba. Okay? All these things is not sunnah, is not going to help. The proper way follows the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here, Ibn Umar telling us that I didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touching any two corners except these two. Which one? The corner which is direction of Yemen, and the other corner which is what? The black stone, and this is. So we have to learn to follow the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All tawaf are seven. Umrah, Hajj, optional, yes. And hadith number 616, وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قبل الحجر الأسود وقال إني أعلم أنك حجر لا تضر ولا تنفع ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلتك. متفق عليه. It's very important. Again, this hadith shows us something very very important in Islam. The hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, which is authentic, reported by Umar, that Umar, may Allah please with him, he takes the black stone and he says, I swear by Allah, I know that you are nothing but a stone. You could not harm, neither you can benefit. If I didn't see the Prophet of Allah kissing you, I'm not going to kiss you. Two things here. Number one, how Umar willing to do anything, even if you don't understand it why. Okay? So Islam is not rational. It's not what you think makes sense or doesn't make sense. Oh, but this doesn't make sense to me. So since it doesn't make sense to me, I'm not going to do it. This is a big problem with some Muslims. Okay? There is nothing called makes sense or doesn't make sense. Is it Quran? Is it authentic hadith? So you shut up and don't talk about it. Till سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Oh Allah, you hear and obey. Otherwise that you say, my mind akbar. My logic is akbar. And instead of saying Allahu akbar, you say my logic is akbar. Umar, how strong in his deen, the shaitan will be scared from him? He say, I know that you are a stone. I don't know what is the deal behind this kissing you. I don't, God is going to help me in it. But I do it. I don't know why, but because I saw Rasulullah I'm doing it. This is it. The Prophet did it, you do it. Why? I don't know. Otherwise, we can question everything in the deen. Why Salat al-Zuhr is 4 and the Maghrib is 3? Now you give me your sense, your logic now. Why Salat al-Maghrib is 3 and the Zuhr is 4? Can anybody explain this? The biggest shaykh that living today could not give you explanation. Now we go to page number 263. You wrote it on already? Hadith number 617. وعن الطفيل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يطوف بالبيت ويستلم الركن بمحجن معه ويقبل المحجن. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه, reported by Abu Tufail, and the hadith is authentic. That he said, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم go around the Kaaba in Tawaf, and he was touching the corner with a stick that he has with him, and after this he will kiss the stick. So due to the crowdedness that is crowded, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not able to reach to the black stone, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has like a cane, and he used to stick it, reach the stone with it from a distance, and after this he will case the state. Okay? So from this hadith we learn that if you could not reach the stone to kiss it, you can try to reach it with something, and whatever reach the stone, the black stone, alaykum sallallahu, you will kiss it. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 618, وعن يعلى بن أمية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سافر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مطبعا ببرج أخضر رواه حتى إلا النسائي وصححه الترمذي. And the hadith is Hassan, that in the collection of النسائي and the Tirmidhi, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was making tawaf while he's wearing a green ihram. And he has it in a dibah fashion. That means you will take the towel, okay, and you will, and this only for the men, and you will take it under the right arm, okay, and you put it on the left shoulder. This call it dibah, okay, and you're supposed to be doing this only when you're going around the Kaaba. Because some people from the time they are in the aeroplane, they are in this state, okay, having the ihram. Is it enough? And also from this hadith we learn the permissibility of having a different color from the white while you're making this ihram. So the ihram does not have to be in white for the man. The permissibility of using the color green. And the istibah, the putting the towel or the ihram under your right hand, covering your left shoulder, exposing the right shoulder, this will be only during the tawaf, only during the time going around the Kaaba. After you finish, there is no need for you to do this, okay? So when you're going the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, you don't do this, okay? You can have your both shoulders covered. When you are in the airplane, both shoulders covered. When you're making salah, both shoulders covered, okay? Hadith number 619, وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان يهل منا المهل فلا ينكر عليه ويكبر منا المكبر فلا ينكر عليه. متفق عليه. This is the day of Arafah. Going from Mina to Arafah, the term of them they used to say Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, while some they used to say Takbir. Okay, like Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, okay. And none of us used to see objection with the other person that who made Takbir or he made Talbiyah. Because the Talbiyah of saying La ilaha Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, the Takbir means to say Allahu Akbar. So this, we understand the permissibility of saying Takbir instead of saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik while you're going from Mina to Arafah. Hadith number, and the hadith is authentic, is in the collection of Al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. Hadith number 620, عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال بعثني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الثقل أو قال في الضعف من جمع بليل. متفق عليه. This hadith is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim reported by Ibn Abbas. May Allah be pleased with him. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send Ibn Abbas in the thaqal, the heavy stuff, which means like the luggage and suitcases. You know when the hijaj, everybody like a group traveling together and everybody got in this load in one place. And the weak one, which women, okay, they don't have the ability of being in crowded, like men and things like this, and sick and children also, during the night. We understand that we said when we finish Arafah, we're going to go to Muzdalifah. And Muzdalifah is going to make Maghrib and Isha and sleep. Okay? And we said that we make Fajr also there. Okay? But here, the Prophet ﷺ allowed Ibn Abbas to take certain part of the community during the night before everybody else. Why? Because it can cause a hardship for them. Those were the handicapped, the children, the women, the one who, okay, so this shows the permissibility of taking the women by night, especially the women who does not have the ability to be in the middle of this crowdedness and large number of, okay, that they don't have to stay the whole night until the morning in Muzdalifah, that they can move forward before the rest of the people. And the hadith is authentic.
Does it go back to Mecca?
No. We said that we have to go first to Mina. Okay? This when you go going to throw the temples and these things, this before you go to Mecca.
Before
you understand from a station to the next station, before everybody else will catch with them, to make it more easier to them. And also this hadith, 621, which is reported by Aisha, that Allah be pleased with her, استأذنت سودة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة المزدلفة ليلة المزدلفة أن تدفع قبله وكانت صبطة يعني طويلة فأذن لها. The same way that here one of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is her name سودة, okay, and Sauda asked the Prophet ﷺ to leave by night from Muzdalifah before him. And the Prophet ﷺ permitted her, and the hadith explaining that she was a heavy weight. Okay? She had a lot of weight. And this was a reason that the Prophet ﷺ, you know what I mean by heavy weight? No, she was not carrying something. She gaining. I don't want to use the term fat. Okay.
No,
she was a large lady. Okay. But maybe larger than what we imagine, you understand? So the Prophet ﷺ permitted her also to do so. Or that because she used to move slowly. Okay. Some people, they have a problem of also the way how to walk. And this hadith also shows the permissibility of weak, sick, children, people who have special conditions that they can leave Muzdalifah by night. They don't have to wait until the morning when everybody leaves. And also the those people can go and throw the stones, catch the stones, before also the rest of the community go, because it will be too much for them to be in the middle of everybody. Hadith number 622, page number 264. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ترموا الجمرة حتى تطلع الشمس. Okay, hadith is good. Hasan, reported by Ibn Abbas, that the Prophet ﷺ told him not to throw the apples until sun rise. He had to wait until sun rise. He could not do it before sun rise.
On the location that they can go before the rest of the people, so that
I am
skeptical
in all. Yes, yes. And also they can go to Mina and throw the stone, the people, before the rest of the people. They can do it. As example, this hadith is telling us we are not supposed to throw the pebbles until sunrise. But for those women, they can go before sunrise, they can go Fajr time, and they can do it. But not for all the women. Okay? Just they have the means, that they're strong enough, they can deal with it, they wait, like everybody. We are talking about special conditions now, okay? Hadith number 623, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأم سلمة ليلة النحر فرمت الجمرة قبل الفجر ثم مضت فأفضر رواه أبو داود وإسناده على شرط مسلم and the hadith is authentic that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has sent أم سلمة okay the night of نحر the night of the sacrifice okay and she threw the stones or the pebbles before Fajr and after this she went to Mecca also before everybody and did hadith number 624 عن عروة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من شهد صلاتنا هذه يعني بالمزدلفة فوقف معنا حتى نتع وقد وقف بعرفة قبل ذلك ليلا أو نهارا فقد تم حجه وقد تفته The hadith is authentic reported by Urwa that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that a person who attends the Salah with us in Al-Muzdalifa, which is the Salah, Maghrib and Aisha together, and what? Fajr. This is the person Muzdalifa, remember? Yes. So whosoever made the Salah with us in Muzdalifa, and he stood before in Arafah, when we're going to be in Arafah, between Zohar until sunset. You pray Zohar and Asr together before you enter Muzdalifa. Out of the city limits of Arafah. You enter Arafah and you stay what? Until sunset. So he said, whosoever pray with us in Muzdalifa. And the day before he been in Arafah, by day or night, his Hajj has been fulfilled. That means he has fulfilled the major part of his Hajj. There are two main important things that we have to understand here. Attending Arafah. And being in Arafah can be extended until night. Okay? So let's assume that somebody did not having to reach Arafah and reach the Arafah after sunset and he spent some time here, a couple of hours, he still considered he had catched the Hajj. Okay? But if he was not there in Arafah, not by day, neither by night, he missed the whole Hajj. Okay? And you could not make up for this. حديث نمبر 625 عن عمر رضي الله عنه قال إن المشركين كانوا لا يفطرون حتى تطلع الشمس ويقولون أشرق كبير وإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خالفهم فأفاض قبل أن تطلع الشمس okay we understand that we said after Muzdalifa that the person will go and by المشعر الحرام So the hadith showing that our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because Hajj is something been known before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the mushrikeen, they used to perform Hajj. Okay? And the Kaaba were respected to all the people at this time and before the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? Because Hajj has been since the time of the Prophet Ibrahim ﷺ. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded the Prophet Ibrahim وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ أَتُوكَ رِجَالًا proclaim and call the Adhan for Hajj for the people. So Hajj has been inherited since the time of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the mushrikeen, we still have some of this information still left there. They used to make Hajj, okay, and they used to leave Muzdalifa after sunrise, and they used to wait until sunrise, and they call it like number like a mountain, okay, like showing like greatness or respect or honor for this mountain. So that the hadith is showing us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had went in Hajj to be different from the manner that the mushrikeen they used to leave the Muzdalifah. He did not used to return from Al-Muzdalifah till the sun rose, and they would say, let the sun shine on Sabir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted differently from them, so he returned quickly from Al-Muzdalifah before sun rose. Okay? He made Fajr and he left and he went to Al-Mas'ar Al-Haram. Yes, sir.
The Hajj of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same as the Hajj of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam?
I could not say yes. But we know the part of it, okay, that the no, I don't know how. How the Prophet Ibrahim made his Hajj, Allah knows this. Did he make tawaf 7 times or 10 times? I don't know. But basically, that certain things may match from a community to community, or maybe it doesn't match. Like the Salah as example. We don't know how they used to make Salah, but we know that they make Salah. The fasting, as Allah said, fasting been ordained to you, has been ordained for those who be for you. But how they used to fast, and how much time they used to fast. So the ibadah itself is there, but the amount and the way, it may differ. You see? Like as example, fasting when it started was 1 day only. Okay? With only 1 day they used to fast. The day of Ashura. So the manner and the way it can be different, the amount, the quantity, all the things, the time can be different. So I have no any information to say that was exactly the same way. But the respect and the honor for the sons of Allah, like the Kaaba and the Safa, Marwa, all the things is known, and the way how it is, Allah knows. Hadith number 626, وعن ابن عباس وأسامة ابن زيد رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لم يزل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبي حتى رمى جمرة العصبة. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم continued making talbiyah until he threw the petals on the jamra, the first jamra. That means talbiyah, the saying of لبيك اللهم لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك. This will be started from the time you make your ihram until you go for tawaf, you go for sa'i, you go to Mina, you go to Arafah, you go to Muzdalifah, and when the 10th of the Hijjah, until you go to through the tables in the spirit, Jamra, now after this you will start. Okay? So the talbiyah will continue as long as you are in the process of Umrah and Ihram and Hajj, your talbiyah is the same of talbiyah, will be with you until what? Until the 10th day when you throw the first jamra, the great one, the biggest jamra, okay? And that does not mean you have to be same 24 hours, but when you change the condition. As example, when you go to sleep, you wake up. This is what we call changing condition. So you say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You was walking and now sitting. Now you say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You was walking and now you ride in the car. This is what I mean by changing condition from time to time or way to way, something different. Now you repeat the talbiyah again. One time, three times, this is up to you. Hadith number 627. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه جعل البيت عن يساره ومنى عن يمينه ورمى الجمرة بسبع حصيات وقال هذا مقام الذي أنزلت عليه سورة البقرة. This hadith, which is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, عبد الله بن مسعود with رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made the house, that means the Kaaba, on his left, and Mina, the city of Mina, on his right, and he threw the Jamra. Okay? So this is the direction that you should take, okay, when you throw the pebbles in the first Jamra. That Mecca will be in your left, and Mina will be in your right. And that you face this station, and he threw the pebbles, and he said, this is the place where Surah Al-Baqarah had been revealed to me in this place. Hadith number 628, which is authentic also, reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rama al-jamrata yawm al-nahh duha, wa amma ba'da thalik, فَإِذَا زَالَتِ الشَّمْسِ. That means the first day, which is the 10th of the Hijjah, which you throw one jamra. We have three jamra, three places to stone, okay? But the first day, you only throw one. When? By after sun rise, about half an hour, okay? Like we said, about 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? But the second day, the third day, and the fourth day, if you do, will be what? After Dhuhr. Okay? After Dhuhr. So only the first day you will stone when? In the morning after sunrise, approximately about half an hour.
So the
corner
of the
harbor,
I think the name is Yemen,
does
that point to the country, Yemen?
Yes. Yes, this is the reason they call it Yemen. And there is another one called Rukn Sham, okay, because it's facing Sham, Syria, or Damascus.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Alright. Hadith number 629, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه كان يرمي الجمرة الدنيا بسبع حصيات يكبر على إثر كل حصى ثم يتقدم ثم يسهل فيقوم فيستقبل القبلة فيقوم طويلا ويدعو فيرفع يديه ثم يرمي الوسطى ثم يأخذ ذات الشمال فيدخل ويقوم مستقبل القبلة ثم يدعو فيرفع يديه ويقوم طويلة ثم يرمي جمرة ذات العقبة من بطن الوادي ولا يقف عندها ثم ينصرف فيقول هكذا رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعله. So here it say about the manner of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that in the second day he used to stone or throw pebbles on the three stations, the three jamarat. Okay? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he go to the lowest one first, and after this the middle one, and after this go to the last one. And also for you to say tasbir when you throw each one. And after he throws each one, the first and the second, he used to move away and he will face the Qibla, raise his hand and make dua. Okay? So this is the second day, the third day, and the fourth day, if you stay for the fourth day. Okay? Anything that you want. Okay? So you don't stay the stone in the station. Okay? But you go and throw the lowest one, the first one, and after, with each one you say Allahu Akbar. And after this you move away, and you face the Qibla, and you stand up and make dua. You finish, you go to the middle one, which is the second one. Allahu Akbar with each one, okay? Throne. And after this you move away, and you will face the Qibla, and make dua, means the direction of the Kaaba. No any special thing where that you go, okay? Towards the Kaaba, and after this you make dua. And after this you go to the last one, and second time you throw this devil, and to Allahu Akbar with each one, and after there is no dua, you go about your business. And while you throw, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Okay? And he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing so. Hadith number 630, وعنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اللهم ارحم المحلقين قال والمقصرين يا رسول الله قال في الثالثة والمقصرين. This hadith which reported by Ibn Umar, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, hadith is authentic, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made dua, okay, that Allah show his mercy to those people who shave their heads. This applies to men, okay? Applies to women, to men. A woman is forbidden to shave her hair. She can cut her hair short, but not to cut it short in a fashion and a way to be imitation to the men, okay? But for the men, it is much reward, more reward is for them to shave after making hajj. The Prophet said, oh Allah, be mercy. And show your mercy towards those people who shave their head. So the Quran says, oh Allah, oh Prophet of Allah, what about the people who cut it short? That means they will lose some hair, not spot. Okay, because it's forbidden also in Islam. That means they will cut it short, but they are not going to shave it. So the Prophet made dua again for the people who say, oh Prophet of Allah, what about the one who cut it short? So he made dua again. And the last time he said, and you're to cut it short. So that means from this hadith we understand is more reward for people who shave their head after Hajj more than those people who cut it short. وعن عبد الله ابن عمرو ابن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقف في حجة الوداع